This is WJBC This Week.
Donald Trump, I think, really last night, which is probably seals up at least the voting part of the nomination.
This guy is all about himself. He's a narcissist. Nothing he talks about makes sense.
The university login and password information of 13 faculty or staff employees were compromised.
It's a great opportunity for them to be struck by a vehicle or even, abducted.
Poverty exists in every school in Bloomington Normal.
The people of Illinois, they're smarter than the people in the General Assembly.
Welcome to WJBC This Week, where we look back at the top stories and interviews from the past week. I'm Eric Starr. On this week's program, Congressman Adam Kinzinger tries to derail Donald Trump's campaign for president. The wife of a presidential candidate stumps for support. Miller Park Zoo gets a financial reprieve from the city, but still awaits promised help from the state. The McLean County Sheriff discusses the fallout from a former deputy taking money that was intended for charity and reviews new crime numbers for McLean County, plus a mother who gave birth to Leap Day quadruplets. That and more coming up. This is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. As Donald Trump moves closer to a possible nomination as the Republican candidate for president, more critics within his own party are starting to speak out against him in hopes of derailing the real estate mogul's bid for the White House. One of them is Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who talked with WJBC's Scott Laughlin and Colleen Reynolds this week.
We spent a number of months, and I was a Jeff supporter, I'm a Rubio supporter now. We spent a number of months trying to have an adult debate with this fourth grade child called Donald Trump. And he's unwilling to ever talk about anything serious. Nothing he talks about makes sense. It's all just grandiose terms. But then what he does is he leaves the debate stage and proceeds to make fun of somebody for sweating or the size of their ears or basically any insult that a fourth grader would throw.
Absolutely.
And, And it's time to fight Donald Trump with his own medicine. And the funny thing about this, and I've been frankly unleashing on him, because the funny thing about all of this is what's typical about a fourth grader, and I don't mean to offend fourth graders, a lot of them are way more mature than this, but what's typical about a fourth grader is they're good at throwing insults at people to make themselves feel better, but then when the insults come back, they freak out. That's Donald Trump. This guy is not fit to be commander-in-chief. He is not fit to be president of this fantastic, amazing union. And it's about time people open up and point out the hypocrisy that is this germaphobe Donald Trump.
So,
I got to applaud him. You're echoing exactly what I said after the last debate. I Facebooked. What'd I say? I said, I just watched the debate and I'm embarrassed as an American. It was like watching fourth graders, and I was worried about it. So, or I said it's like watching 12-year-olds.
Yeah,
and insulting 12-year-olds.
But here's the question for both of you: if you were parents, would you tell your fourth grader to respond to a bully by attacking them and their physicality, and by personally insulting their looks? Would you tell your fourth grader to do that?
No, I wouldn't. But, the reality is, while I compared it to fourth grade, this is politics. And you see a politician like Donald Trump, who I think it's an offense to call it to politicians to call him a politician, who said that Marco Rubio was sweating, Marco Rubio has big ears, and calls a U.S. senator Little Marco. Okay, that's fine, right? So then Marco comes out the next day and says, hey, it's kind of funny that he makes fun of my sweating problem because this guy sports a regular sweat stash, a sweat mustache. And, oh, by the way, he's got a pretty terrible spray tan. Look, we're called, I say this from my spiritual side, I believe, we're called to bring light to darkness. And sometimes it takes a blowtorch and fire to bring light to that darkness. It takes exposing the idiocracy, the stupidity of somebody, of what they're doing. And that's Donald Trump. You know what? Look. Talking about the fact that he switched on every issue, talking about the fact that he has no real plan, seems to not be working. It's time to expose him for the fraud that he is.
Well, and the attention that Rubio's getting now because he is lashing back is simply because he has put himself on Donald Trump's level. I mean, Trump says outrageous things, and that's what's sucking the life out of all the other campaigns. He's getting all the coverage.
So, well, yeah,
but I don't know that that's good for the party. Do you think this is good for the Republican Party?
No, this is not good for the Republican Party. But this is a matter of, you know, having to fight a battle that may not be good in the short term for the long term gain. The long term gain is Donald Trump will not be our nominee, and exposing him for what he is. Look, if he can't take this, if he can't physically, emotionally take this kind of stuff now, wait till Hillary Clinton gets a hold of him. And, you know, look, it's when all is said and done, we've got to win. Marco Rubio, I believe, is the guy that can win. And he's the only guy that's really taken him on to this level. And he's, look, Trump has thin skin. It's fun to watch. It's sad for our democracy, but it's got to be done. It's got to be done today.
You got to say this about Cruz. Forget the politics. He has tried to stay above it. He's not getting personal. He's attacking on facts, but he's not getting personal.
I disagree.
No?
Look, you know, yeah, I have to disagree. You know, I'd pick Cruz over Trump any day, but maybe now, at this moment, that's what you're seeing. Look at the past. I mean, basically in all of Cruz's speeches, all he does is attack people, right? Attack. Now, he doesn't say that we're short or big.
No, he's attacking policy and past history.
Oh, yeah, past history is redundant. Above it all in the past. I mean, he shut down the federal government a couple of years
ago. Yeah, I know. I know. Hey, listen, here comes the million-dollar question now, all right? If Trump is the nominee, will you support the nominee?
I don't know. I don't think I can at this point. Something's going to have to change. Now, I'm not going to support Hillary Clinton, but I can't imagine supporting this guy. This guy does not believe in the Constitution. Everything out of his mouth is what we have fought against, with the Revolutionary War, against authoritarianism. This guy wants to take away your right, by the way, your guys' right on radio to say what you want to say. You know, you can lie about me all you want on radio, and it would make me upset, but it's your First Amendment right as press to say what needs to be said. He just said yesterday he would get rid of the libel laws. I mean, what kind of Mussolini-type stuff is that? I mean, so no, if he's our Republican nominee, I put my party any day of the week above my – I put my country any day of the week above my party. And I will not support Donald Trump simply because he's a Republican. He's going to have to do like a real almost come to Jesus about what he believes and what he says. And I just don't foresee that happening. This guy is all about himself. He's a narcissist. And look, you know what's fun? Go on my Twitter feed and read what some of his supporters have said on Twitter. It's really fun to see the kind of darkness that he stirs up with his speeches.
Oh, I know. I know. I mean, his supporters. And how do we follow you on Twitter?
Rep Kinzinger or Adam Kinzinger is my political one. And, just go look at some of those and what people are saying. Look, I have thick skin. It doesn't bother me. It actually entertains me to read it. But it's unbelievable. Everything from white supremacist lines to completely misspelled attacks to, you know, to just, it's amazing. There are some great, there are some great people supporting Donald Trump. This isn't an attack on the supporters. But what it is saying is, when he speaks, he stirs real dark parts of people's heart up, and you can see the result of that sometimes.
Well, do you think that the Republican Party is now going for a win-at-all-costs and, you know, sell your soul, you know, and get down to his level if it means you're going to win?
Well, you mean to win on behalf of Trump or to defeat Trump?
I'm talking about to defeat Trump.
Well, look, there's this idea that there's a coherent Republican establishment that meets in, you know, smoke-filled rooms and makes these plans. It doesn't exist, and I know it's counterintuitive, but it really doesn't. There's not a
no. It's a fractured party.
Yeah, and it's just the nature of it anyway. But look, I think we realize there's a lot of people that realize this guy cannot be the new face of the Republican Party. I mean, the party of Ronald Reagan and optimism. And even if you're not a Republican, I think in some cases when people think of the Republican Party, you know, they think of strong defense and they have some good things, even if they're Democrats. But this guy, I mean, literally this guy, what he says, making fun of the disabled. I mean, can you imagine a person? I believe everybody's built with like a God-given gift, and no matter if you're disabled, you're mentally slow, anything like that, you have potential. This guy makes fun of the disabled. He makes fun of Hispanics. He puts down women. And despite being a billionaire, potentially, a billionaire, there's some hole in his heart or in his soul where he still feels like he has to put down people to make himself feel better.
That was Congressman Adam Kinzinger with Scott and Colleen. This past week saw Hillary Clinton grow her lead in the delegate count in the Democratic race for president against Bernie Sanders. But the Sanders camp still optimistic after winning four states in the Super Tuesday primaries. Bernie's wife, Jane Sanders, talked about the campaign with WJBC's Todd Weinberner this week.
Did you anticipate the passionate support that some people have for your husband's candidacy?
You know, I didn't. I expected that his ideas would resonate. I mean, he's talking about the issues that concern our electorate, climate change, campaign finance reform, criminal justice reform, the affordability of health care and education. So we knew the ideas would resonate, but the fervor with which they've resonated, especially among people under 30, has been really gratifying and surprising.
I want to take you back in time, what must have been several months, when this idea was first broached seriously of a run for the presidency. How did you react? Did you embrace it right out of the chute, or did you have to be convinced?
Oh, I had to be convinced. I knew it would be difficult, and I knew that the, you know, today's politics is so negative, and it's so focused on anger and division, and we just don't do that kind of politics, and I really didn't like the idea of waking up every morning with a knot in my stomach wondering what lie was going to be told that day. I've been through enough campaigns like that, so I thought nationally it'd be worse. But what we decided to do was to lead by example and run a positive, issue-oriented campaign, hopefully shift the framework of debate, and treat people, including our opponents and the voters, with respect and run with integrity. So far, so good.
Okay. Well, I guess the cliche I'm looking for is it's not your first trip to the rodeo. You've been through many campaigns. Have we seen the real Bernie Sanders campaigning?
You absolutely have. It's been interesting because I didn't expect his reputation is, he's gruff and he's serious all the time. And he's always focused on issues, and he is. But Vermonters and, of course, all the people here know him to have a really good sense of humor as well, and he loves to be around people, it's just reporters he pushes to make sure they stay on the issues. So to see his sense of humor come out a little bit during this campaign was surprising. I didn't know that he would let his guard down in that way. So that's the one surprise.
One of the things I just heard him say recently is that he would love to be on stage one-on-one with Donald Trump. Do you think he'd have a good time with that discussion?
I think so. I mean, there couldn't be a more clear contrast. And if you look at the polls, the last, I don't know, five polls that came out showed that he did better against the Republicans than Secretary Clinton did, and especially against Donald Trump. The gap was really wide there. I mean, Bernie's fighting for a $15 minimum wage. Donald Trump thinks the wages are too high in America. They have completely different views on trade. We were talking about division. Donald Trump seems to want to divide people up by race, by ethnicity, by whether or not you were born in this country or came to this country. And Bernie is trying to bring people together and realize that we're all in this together and we need to work together to take back our country and make it work for the majority of the people, the working class.
You say we're...
No, it would be a good debate, I think.
Oh, I think it would be very lively, but I don't know if we'll get to see it, unfortunately. But what I want to ask you next, you said you made the remark about being in this together, and of course you and your husband are. Are you coming to grips with the notion that should your husband win the presidency, you'll be the first lady?
You know, I haven't had much time to think about that. But I do want to say, you just said, well, we might not get to see it, unfortunately. I think people have underestimated Bernie right from the beginning of this campaign and throughout his political career. He won the first election as mayor by 10 votes. So if 10 people had stayed home, we probably wouldn't be here today. He wasn't expected to win for Congress. He lost his first election by 3% because everybody said, his ideas are great, but he can't win. The next 2 years later, he beat the incumbent by 17% because Vermonters are fast learners. And they said, oh, wait, we could have had what we really wanted. And then in the Senate race, he ran against the richest man in the state, and they didn't think he could win that. He won it by a landslide. So the presidency, don't count him out. He is... The map this time was a little difficult, but we actually achieved exactly what we set out to achieve. And as we go forward to the Midwest, to people who have lost their jobs from trade, who have real concerns about their infrastructure and the issues that Bernie is talking about, we think that he's going to do better and better as he goes along. And partly because they'll hear him more, and people will get to know him more. And his ideas are really what most people that are in the average middle class, working class, college students, and families are concerned about.
That was Jane Sanders, wife of Bernie Sanders, with Todd Weinberner. Bloomington's recent budget turnaround means some city attractions, such as Miller Park Zoo, which were under the financial microscope, get a reprieve, at least for now. Jay Tetzloff, Bloomington Parks and Recreation and Miller Park Zoo director, talked with WJBC's Susan Saunders this week.
Does that change anything for the better or worse at the zoo?
The zoo wasn't under the knife as much as other areas were.
Okay.
We got everything we requested.
Okay.
So I'm very pleased about that. What I need more than anything right now is the state budget, because we've got that state grant out there for $700,000, which was the largest gift in our history. And then we all voted for Rauner as governor, and that state grant went away or has been delayed. And that's huge for us because that's an additional parking lot, which we desperately need.
Oh, certainly after being at Polar Plunge on Saturday,
oh, yeah.
I felt so bad for anybody trying to get into the zoo because everything at Miller Park was suddenly a parking spot.
Exactly. And that happens a lot. Yesterday, we had a free day because it was leap. We celebrated leap year by having a free day. Parking lot was full at 10 o'clock. I came back at 1:10 and I parked. I didn't get in the parking lot. So, that's a big thing for us. I know people don't come to the zoo on some days because we can't find a spot to park, and that's a major problem for us.
Sure, especially if you're trying to walk little ones and strollers
right,
and
exactly.
things like that. So we need that money.
Yep.
And you are breaking records for attendance every time we turn around, even with all of Saturday morning, the entire Miller Park area being swamped with Special Olympics, crazy mm-hmm. people jumping into the water, whom I love, for all things Polar Plunge. This weekend, you had a gigantic weekend.
Oh, yeah. The last two weekends have been absolutely fantastic. We broke the all-time record for attendance in February. So that record goes back to 1999. So it's a record that's been around for a while, and we shattered it. We beat it by 67%.
Why do you think that more people are coming to the zoo? I know we've had great weather.
Weather has a lot to do with
weekends.
It. I wish I could say it's all what we're doing. I like to think a little bit of it, we're doing good things, but weather's so much a factor for us. And we looked at some numbers. If it doesn't rain on spring break, does it rain on Saturdays, we've got a great chance to break the all-time attendance record. And so it shows people are interested in coming out to the zoo and supporting us. And, we're building flamingos. It's about half done.
Whom I love. I love. You may have a favorite bird in the world, but I swear once you come near a flamingo, you're going to change your mind because they're really, really neat.
Yeah, that'll be a great. And that's showing people the future of the zoo. That's the first exhibit of the master plan. That's the vision where we're going forward. Just and first exhibit since 2004.
It just out of curiosity, when you get feedback from people at the zoo, what are people enjoying the most at the zoo? Of course, I'm obsessed with all things snow leopard, and this is a great time of year to go see the snow leopards and the cubs because they like it when it's cold.
Right.
But is that where most people are hanging out? Are they hanging out with the otters? Are they at the sea lions?
I would say seals and otters are still probably the top one because we do so much there. There's so much engagement. We have three seals now, so we have three trainers down there. Training the new boys that came last year. Snow leopard cubs obviously were a big hit this year. And we're hoping to have snow leopards again, hoping to have otter pups again. And then we can have a couple other big ones. Red panda is a potential, red wolf. We've got lots of wallaby babies and wallaroo joeys on the way, if not in the pouch already. So we've got three of our four female goats are pregnant. So,
that ultrasound equipment donation apparently is getting a lot of use.
It is. We did our goats, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and we saw fetuses of three of the four females. And we didn't think he was breeding. We thought he was only breeding one of them.
Yeah, because this was the little San Clemente goat that you were hoping was going to grow a little bit more into his manliness.
Yes.
And then the other girls would want to date him.
Yeah, two of the girls for sure were like, you know, come back when you're a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is pregnant. So that's why we need that kind of technology, is because we're not always around them and we don't always see what's going on. And what we were seeing was, nope, go away. You know, come back when you're bigger. And
that was a Bloomington Parks and Recreation and Miller Park Zoo Director Jay Tetzeloff with Susan Saunders. Today's local news is next. This is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. A former McLean County Sheriff's deputy was sent to prison last week for stealing funds that a police union had used to help charities. Sheriff John Sandage discussed the impact that conviction has had on law enforcement charity efforts, plus the recent firing of the police chief in Haworth, mental health, and new crime statistics when he talked with WJBC's Terry James this week.
What does that do for, you know, the way the Sheriff's Department looks in the community and convincing people that that is a very small portion of all law enforcement?
It was definitely a black eye. And a thing that with this case that made it so bad was those funds were meant for charity organizations. So there was a lot of people that had to do without because of that theft. And then, you know, you've got to rebuild the public's trust again to get them to donate back. And the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 176, has done an excellent job doing that. They've got their fundraising back on solid ground again. So, but they've got a great history. You know, they're well known in the community for providing for charities. So that helped.
Yeah, and this is union-raised money, correct?
Correct.
So this was not taxpayer dollars.
Correct.
And I imagine that the members of the union are going to do more to have a little oversight, a better oversight over this money?
Yes, yes.
Do you know exactly what they can do?
I don't. I don't know what procedures that they have put into place, but I know that they have put some into place to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Another issue, Haworth has been in the news because they are now without their police chief. What kind of mutual aid does the McLean County Sheriff's Department provide when there's a situation that or just a situation where there's a lack of officers in a small town, which already have small departments?
Right. We respond with mutual aid agreements. Those departments will help us just as much as we help them. And in the rural agencies, if they don't have an officer on duty, we will handle the calls.
All right. Very good. Let's move on to county government now, where we are working on the jail expansion. And I know you went over a lot of this with Mr. Emery over here because he stole you last time. But I won't let him forget about that one.
Why don't you guys have a cage match then?
Well, we do every day. It's getting exciting because we're getting closer to actually seeing this become a reality and really helping folks with mental health in the community. Mental health problems.
Right. It's nice to see progress being made, and even though it does seem like it's going to take a while to get it done, we are making positive steps. So that's good to hear.
We had heard at I went to a recent forum. It's called Closing the Gap, and they said that there are a lot of times where folks with mental health now will stay even in the booking area for long amounts of time because there's just not room at our county jail.
Right. That and when we have them a booking, it's easier to keep an eye on them and check on them. Because a lot of those folks do need checked on to make sure that they're doing okay, they're not hurting themselves. So that's why we keep them in our booking area.
And do you think you'll be able to get more psychiatric help at the jail? The other concern that Jason Chambers had was there's only one psychiatrist, and I think it's 8 hours a month that that you guys have in the budget to pay him.
Right. You know, we have counselors right now that'll do 20 hours a week, but we're working on a plan right now currently to double that. And that's still in the planning phases, but we're doing everything we can to expand our services for mental health.
And the problem is, for people that don't understand, is you have to get an evaluation done before you can go back to court and before is it that you can be declared incompetent to stand, or I'm sorry, unfit to stand trial?
Right. Right. There has to be an evaluation done.
Okay. And that's what they're waiting for, and why we need more room at the county jail.
Yes. So yeah, it's hopefully we will be the blueprint for others to follow once we get this all built and up and running.
Do you know if others are watching?
Oh, yeah, there's several watching. When I go to sheriff's conferences, several sheriffs will ask, you know, what are you guys doing? That's great. How do we do it? Even asking us if we'll house their inmates with mental health issues.
Okay. So, what else is going on that I haven't asked you about?
We finished up our year-end stats. We had between a 6 and 7% decrease in crime in McLean County for 2015. However, a 46% increase in drug-related arrests.
Wow.
So we are seeing a lot more drugs and trying to combat that the best we can.
Why do you think there has been such a rise in drug arrests?
We've been doing a lot more proactive patrols. Starting this week, our second canine unit has hit the street. We got a canine through the Buffett Foundation that provided the canine, the training, and a fully loaded vehicle at no cost to the taxpayers at all. So that dog is up and running this week, and we're just increasing our interdiction efforts.
And, you know, really with 74, 55, 39, doesn't that kind of make McLean County a place where you would be likely to find, you know, more people that are trafficking these drugs? They go through McLean County.
Absolutely. And they get off at these small towns to get gas or to get something to eat. So a lot of times that's our opportunity to run across these people.
Because we know that the destination that most of them are going to is Chicago.
Right. Usually you have drugs running north to Chicago and the cash running back south.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the 6 to 7% decrease overall, that is pretty impressive. What do you credit that with?
I think it's just nationwide the trend is crime is down. So I can't really pinpoint anything in particular. Hopefully it stays that way, but it, like everything else, is cyclical.
That was McLean County Sheriff John Sandage with Terry James. Leap day babies are rare enough. Only one in 1,461 of us are born on February 29th. Quadruplets are almost unheard of, unless you know Tom and Pam Plora of Leroy. Pam shares her story with WJBC's Dan Swaney this week.
It was 20 years ago today that you actually delivered quads. One of those babies unfortunately passed away. Three of them, though, are now celebrating their fifth birthday today. Is,
you know,
that right?
That is the big question. That's probably the second biggest question that they get asked is, are you celebrating 20 or are you celebrating 5? So which do you want it to be? But they certainly are, and it's been great. It's fun to have a birthday on Leap Day. Everybody remembers your day. At least they remember once every 4 years. And what they're finding out today is that now they're starting to offer a lot of freebies for those who are who are born on Leap Day, so they're cashing in on all those free, you know, pizzas and cookies and all that good stuff.
So we'll be able to tell the kids that were born on Leap Day they're all fat. Is that kind of, no? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Your kids' names are?
We have Natalie, Zeke, and Cole. They are all sophomores in college, and all kind of spread around the place. I got Zeke in Champaign and Cole up in Chicago at Loyola and Natalie down at SMU in Dallas.
How about that? Well, you guys have done good. You and your husband, Tom, we want to make sure a lot of people know both of you out in southeastern McLean County. When they were growing up, what kind of attention did they get because they were Leap Day babies? Did people want to talk about it more than maybe, oh, my birthday was on the 28th, but no, was it different?
Well, the biggest thing for a lot of people is the question, when do you actually celebrate when there isn't a leap day? And so that was the big question that was posed to them. Are you going to celebrate the day before or are you going to celebrate the day after? But for us, having multiples, it worked out great because they just celebrated all week long. You could decide, okay, I'm going to have 2 days ahead of time, I can have a day after, whichever was closest to the weekend or when they wanted to have their party. So it really worked out great in the multiple scenario because everyone kind of got their special day since there wasn't really a day that their birthday would fall on. And then, of course, the big birthday parties would come when they actually had a real birthday. But it actually worked out great for me.
Oh, heck yeah. I can see that. Did they all kind of want to go their own direction, or did they all say, okay, we have to do this before the 29th, so we have to have our birthday on the 28th, because no kid wants to wait, right?
I swear to you, Dan, it was a week-long thing. They had the birthday cake on one day. They had the celebration dinner on another day. They had the birthday with friends. Oh, they drug it out all week long. So they really weren't upset about the fact that they didn't have that special day, but because it was such a big deal when they actually had one. So it was a lot of fun.
Are they aware of what the long shot is of somebody having multiples on leap day? You were just telling me this, and it's like, oh my goodness, what are the odds?
My brothers calculated for me on the day that they were born that they had a 1 in 85 billion chance of being born a quadruplet on leap day.
Wow.
So they got to think they're pretty special.
Man. Now, was your delivery date supposed to be leap day, or was it just in that area?
It actually was, you know how pregnancies go, there's so many weeks and 1 day and mm-hmm. so many weeks and 2 days. And as it happened, they don't like quadruplets to go past 34 weeks. And so it happened to be on leap day that was my 34 and zero. So the doctor said to me, you can deliver today or you can wait one more day. And I said, nope, let's do it.
Get him out of here.
So it was a very fun day. One of the best days of my life. Yes.
So when the kids are getting older now, and this would be their fifth leap day birthday, when they went to get driver's license and things like that, you know, other paperwork that they need to get into school, did anybody say, hey, wait a minute, this is, you're only having like your second birthday here? Does the state automatically default to the day before that?
They don't. No, they got to put the real birthday. What really kind of threw them off is because their Social Security numbers were sequential. So you just have one, and then the Social Security was so close, and then it was an odd day because it was a leap day. So they had to look at the numbers a little more carefully than they may have otherwise. But no, they let them put on 29th.
I'll be darned. How special is it to be the parent of kids that were born on leap day? Whether you had one or had a litter of 12, it doesn't make any difference. But how special is that?
Oh, of course it's special. But every mother will say that about their child and their special day. I just happen to have the luxury of every 4 years, people happen to remember that it's my kid's birthday. So they get showered with lots of extra good stuff.
That's great. That's just absolutely great. And you and Tom are doing okay. Everything's fine, and you're keeping the world revolving in the right direction, I'm presuming, right?
Of course we are, Dan. You know, everything, you know, we got 16 irons in the fire just as as a lot of parents do that have kids that are in school and off in college and working, but we're holding Leroy pretty tight.
Well, that's good. That's good. Please tell your husband that I said congratulations, Papa, on having those. What are the kids doing for their fourth or fifth birthday here? Do they have plans? Have they told you about it?
They have finals, mid-semester finals, so they're all hitting the books. At least that's what they're telling me. Should I believe them?
Nope. That's built into every kid who's in college's DNA. It just,
right.
They're going to tell you what mom and dad want to hear and then move on with what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's great. Cole and Zeke and Natalie, happy birthday to you. Your fifth birthday actually is 20 today. And Pam and Tom, congratulations on being the parents of this story. Pam, and you know, I was working at another radio station then, and we interviewed you on the day of the birth of the babies, I think, or the day after. And you sounded so cheery and up about everything. And then I thought, just wait till she has three little kids wanting to go three different ways and
yes,
stuff like that.
There was a small issue of lack of sleep there the first time, the first few years. But hey. Everything worked out great.
That's great. That's
yeah.
great.
That was Pam Plora with Dan Swaney. The Weekend News is next. This is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. Time now for the Weekend News. Illinois State University moved quickly to ensure that 13 of their employees received their pay after a data breach caused misdirected payments.
It was discovered that the university login and password information of 13 faculty or staff employees were compromised, resulting in unauthorized access to their payroll information.
Grove says they've been working with local, state, and federal police to find out where the breach originated. It appears at least five other universities around the country were hit with the same breach, but Grove says none of those other schools are in Illinois. A large crowd at Unit 5's school board meeting this week offered their thoughts on possible changes to school start times. WJBC's Adam Stasinski was there.
One proposal would have elementary schools start at 7:40, high schools start at 8:25, and junior highs begin at 8:40. Ben Mullins is concerned many younger students would be picked up before dawn.
There's a great opportunity for them to be struck by a vehicle or even, abducted.
There's another proposal which would have high school start at 7:15, junior high at 8, and elementary at 9. Superintendent Mark Daniels says the process isn't over yet, but he's pushing to have the board vote on the issue within the next couple weeks. Adam Stasinski, WJBC and WJBC.com.
McLean County is wealthier than the average county in the state, but is also living with more people in poverty, according to recent figures. WJBC's Joe Ragusa says the McLean County League of Women Voters sponsored a panel on this subject.
Illinois State Professor Frank Beck says numbers like average income don't always tell the whole story.
Those numbers are averages, and they sometimes may cover up or make it so we don't quite see all of the diversity within our communities, within our county.
District 87 Administrator Mary Kay Scharf says students living in poverty struggle.
If they're worried about where they're going to lay their head tonight and where they might lay it tomorrow night, if they're worried about their siblings that are left at home while they're in the safe confines of school where they get protection and food and people who care about them, those boys and girls aren't worried about reading and writing and arithmetic.
Stacy Tutt with the U of I Law School says poor people get buried in the legal system because they lack the resources to understand it. Joe Ragusa, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Local leaders made their 10th annual visit to Bloomington this week to lobby for federal dollars for various projects, and the one voice has never been louder. Mike O'Grady of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council says a record 39 leaders were on the trip.
It is one voice. We took three projects, and we have labor, we have education, we have government, and we have business on this trip.
The three projects are completion of Hamilton Road in Bloomington, improved mental health services, and school programs for science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. The group met with about a half dozen members of Congress. The Illinois House has adjourned until April, a move which upset some Republicans who say lawmakers should stay and work on a budget. The House passed a $3.7 billion bill to fund colleges and human services this week. State Representative Tom Bennett of Gibson City says there's still more work to do.
After we're trying to continue to work, one of our Republican state representatives asked to continue working. We filed the motion, and it was turned down by the Democrats. In fact, they didn't even follow their own laws, their own rules in this aspect. So we're here ready to go to work, and there's nobody here to work with us.
Governor Rauner calls it a sham bill, saying there's no money to pay for it. The next court hearing for former McLean County Board Chairman Matt Sorensen could reveal whether or not his fraud case will go to trial. John Gregory reports.
Sorensen is charged with wire fraud for supposedly taking more than $400,000 in unearned consulting fees, including from State Farm. The prosecutor in the case said during a short status hearing in Chicago that there are discussions of a settlement, quote, short of trial, though the lawyer for Sorensen's co-defendant called such talks presumptuous. Sorensen wasn't required to be in court at this hearing. He's due back on May 10th, when both sides expect to know how to proceed. In Chicago, John Gregory, WJBC, and WJBC.com.
And Republican strategist Pat Brady says it's looking more and more like Donald Trump will become the party nominee for president.
Donald Trump, I think, just really last night, which is probably seals up at least the voting part of the nomination for the Republicans and the Democrats. I think we're hoping now for some kind of brokered convention.
Brady, the former Illinois Republican Party chairman, spoke with WJBC's Scott Laughlin the day after the Super Tuesday primaries. He says while he doesn't think any of Trump's GOP opponents should or will drop out of the race, he says the only chance Trump could lose would be for all conservatives in the party to rally around one candidate. Up next, the week to come. This WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. Now we take a look ahead at the week to come. On Monday, Normal's Town Council will consider a new four-year contract with the town's police union. On Wednesday, the Bloomington Planning Commission will consider rezoning for senior housing and a memory care facility in East Bloomington. On Thursday, Normal's Planning Commission will give the public a chance to speak out about the town's proposed new fire station. Also Thursday, a plea hearing is scheduled in Woodford County for elementary teacher Michael Brown from Bloomington, who was accused of filming school staff members in a bathroom in the Fieldcrest School District. And on Saturday, Bloomington aldermen will gather for a budgeting session as they work to come up with a spending plan before the next budget year begins in May. This has been WJBC This Week. To listen to this week's program again, go to the WJBC.com podcast page. I'm Eric Stock.